Back with you on Thursday, June 10th, 2021 on Connecticut Today, right here on WICC 600 and online at WICC600.com. Carol Platt-Leibau checked in with us again from the Yankee Institute for Public Policy in Connecticut. We talked about the recent crazy last days of the General Assembly session and what could be ahead. And speaking of the General Assembly, at the 4 o'clock mark, we replayed remarks from earlier in the day delivered by Governor Ned Lamont, his end-of-session remarks about what he saw and what he wants to see from a special session. First, Carol Platt-Leibau back with us. Carol heads the Yankee Institute for Public Policy in Connecticut. Yes, I tell people, yes, there is a conservative think tank here in deep blue Connecticut. Carol, how are you? Paul again, how are you?
I'm well. Great to be with you.
Carol, thanks. Carol, I don't know about you, but I've been saying on my show for the past week or so, 2 weeks, with all these budget battles, it's kind of fun watching a Democratic governor drive the left wing of his party crazy here. I mean, look, Ned Lamont is no Republican, no conservative. We know that. But boy, some of the verbal back and forths here, even as the budget was passed, I find that kind of entertaining, don't you?
Well, you know, Paul, it is pretty interesting, especially because there are some things that, you know, are still in the budget and still have been passed that are worthy of comment. I mean, you still have this truck mileage tax.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's going to be tough on everyone, especially the people struggling to make ends meet. Because when you make it more expensive for things to be shipped over our roads and trucks, that's going to make everything that is shipped by truck, which is pretty much everything, more expensive. And when you look at the inflation that we're already seeing, that's just going to make it harder and harder for people trying to recover from a pandemic. You know, it's going to make it harder for them to make ends meet.
The marijuana situation I find interesting, Carol. And frankly, I thought this would sail through a few days ago. I said, well, you know, the votes are there. Then I saw 19-17, which was closer than everyone thought in the Senate, but it still voted, went through. But then this discovery of this aspect of the bill that apparently, Carol, by all reports, was put in there by Doug McCrory. He won't go into it in detail. The Senate and the governor's office say, hey, wait a minute. And now the Republican, the minority in the House is saying, hey, wait a minute. We need to go through this line by line. Surprised or not are you at that? Maybe that's a rhetorical question.
Well, you know, you can never underestimate the number of surprises that are going to come up in a legislative session, Paul. And the thing that's disturbing, you know, Yankee Institute has taken no official position on marijuana as it's something of a social issue. But the thing that's really, I think, that counsels caution is we've seen in states that have gone ahead and rushed to legalize marijuana a lot of perhaps unanticipated outcomes. And it seems that everyone who is wanting to do this is doing it because they think that there is going to be a lot of positive economic outcomes from it. But while you can tote up how much money you can make from it on the upside, it's a lot harder to figure out how many social costs that are going to turn into economic costs are going to be imposed on the downside. And so it's worth taking a careful look and not rushing into something like this, only looking at the upsides. And it shouldn't be done strictly on an economic basis. I think it's really something that needs to be carefully studied, and I'm not really sure those studies have been done here.
And there's also this whole thing about equity, and Carol, I want to get in to that with you momentarily after we take a break. Return visit from Carol Platt-Leibau from the Yankee Institute for Public Policy in Connecticut. Carol, hang on, back with you momentarily. First, traffic and weather together at 3:36 on WICC. All right, yes, Greenwich is talking, one of the towns that tells me to get the hell out every time I... No. Paul, we don't like your kind here. Really? No, not in Greenwich, Old Greenwich. Cos Cobb, or my personal favorite, Narroton Heights. Carol Platt-Leibau is with us from the Yankee Institute for Public Policy. Carol, you know, on this on this marijuana bill. I'm kind of like you. I mean, social issue, whatever. You know, when the best of, you know, the best of my libertarian side says, fine, stay at home, get high in your big recliner, watch TV, fall asleep. That's fine. If it's legal, it's legal. But, Carol, the part about this whole bill that bothers me, and I wonder how you feel about this, is if this is going to be a bill, Carol, that will legalize marijuana recreationally for adults in the entire state of Connecticut, okay, but we hear constantly about the money flow and the word equity and equity and equity, and that, of course, is a code word for the big cities, and you could debate the police proceedings of what went on during the war on drugs. That's for another show. But, Carol, it just sounds to me, and maybe I'm just too jaded here, that the financial rewards of legal weed may not reach every city or town in this state. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you know, the whole equity, quote unquote, discussion, we could do a whole couple of shows on that.
Yeah.
But the idea that anyone is going to be lifted up by the drug trade is a joke. And I would advise those who think that they are going to lift any community into prosperity by locating pot stores in those communities to perhaps think twice. And what this really goes back to is the failure of too many of our politicians to actually adopt a policy for Connecticut cities that work. And really, they should be ashamed. When you look at Connecticut cities and the way they've been allowed to simply deteriorate and become unsafe for the people who live there and neglected, and, you know, too often this term, rather than the cities, people who govern the cities or represent the cities looking for ways to help the people who live there get an adequate education, whether it's through tax credit scholarships, through some sort of parent choice in education, through allowing parents to control the money that pays for their child's education and letting them seek some sort of choice, whatever that mechanism would be, and creating a culture of opportunity, creating conditions that would make the cities attractive for businesses and jobs to flow there. Instead, they are talking about trying to get people out of the cities, trying to allow state zoning of suburbs that have always been autonomous. I mean, everything, rather than fixing the cities, to export whatever the pathologies of the cities are to the suburbs. And it's nonsense. And the people who govern those cities and represent those cities ought to be ashamed. The first thing that needs to go on is to give the people who live in the cities a sense of hope by making the cities safe, making them attractive to businesses and investment so that there's a higher quality of life and jobs to be had in those cities, and by giving the children who live in those cities a real ticket to opportunity by giving them a decent education.
And I think, Carol, finally, the I think people have become so desensitized in this whole marijuana thing. Well, look at the money, and we're going to have retailers and delivery services. And I keep reminding people on the air here, we're talking about something that is either ingested through smoke or eaten in edibles. We get that. And there's CBD spinoffs, and I get that. And I have nothing against medical marijuana. But we're delivering all this hope and equity, Carol, on something that, and I will argue with somebody on this. I have a pretty good medical background. I've covered medical stories. Marijuana is something that alters your mental state, whether you smoke a lot of it or a little of it. And it's being sold, Carol, at least by some people, as this panacea. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, well, what world are we living in? What am I not understanding here?
Well, it's pathetic, and I'm not sure that a lot of parents in the suburbs would be thrilled if the state legislature were going to bring a bunch of pot dispensaries into their suburbs,
yeah,
make it easy to deliver to their children.
Yeah, I can't wait for the pot retail locations in Greenwich, in Wilton, in Westport.
In New Canaan, yes, in Westport. I'm not sure that that a lot of upscale parents would be jumping up and down if the legislature's chief goal were to make pot delivery and ingestion, facilitate it for their children.
Unreal. Carol Platt Leibow from the Yankee Institute for Public Policy. Carol, always good to hear from you. Take care. We'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Paul.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. We'll get back to the phones here. See, folks, that's the thing. There's a disconnect somewhere here. There's a synaptical. You know how you remember from your basic high school biology, the brain is made up of brain tissue, and our brain functions by what they call synaptical currents. It's a synapse, I believe the word is. You see it illustrated in little animations. There are the nerves and that little zzz, that electrical pulse that goes into the nerves. That's how the human brain, it's an amazing thing to look at, how it finances. There's a disconnect somewhere on this marijuana thing. There really is. And again, look, if you want to sit home and smoke, fine. But look, please, we're not talking about incentives for inner cities or wherever to train people to be accountants, HVAC technicians who are never out of work. Trust me, I have relatives who do this. All the people I know doing HVAC have the extra car, the vacation home, and they take about a month off every year. So it's just, this panacea that we're making this out to be is mind-numbing.
I just want to make sure that what we do in a responsible way where we continue to earn the trust and confidence of the taxpayers of Connecticut. Make sure that what we paid for in an appropriate way over the next 2 years and over the next 10 years, to give people confidence this is a state that can make the tough choices and build on the progress we've had over the last couple of years. So I think that was what we wanted to say, really as a shout out to members on both sides of the island legislature, a job well done.
The House Republican minority leader said that at the beginning of this process that there were many tax increases, and they believe that their input and working with you and the Democrats helped get some of those taxes out. Is that true?
Sure. I'm always happy to have people provide constructive solutions. And we found a way to take care of the really key priorities we had without raising taxes. And absolutely, Vinny and Kevin reminded me how important that was on many occasions.
Marijuana, does it matter to you if it gets passed next week or the week after or not? Will you be disappointed if something changes?
Yeah, I would be. Pass the bill. Let's go. Vote on it and pass it. We got you the most comprehensive bill in the country 4 months ago, a couple hundred pages. We know how to do this on a safe, regulated basis for adults. We know how to decommercialize it, which is so important. And I think it's time to vote. And if you can't vote this week, vote early next week, but vote.
And I would just add to what the governor said, that the people of Connecticut have made their voices heard. 66% of our state really wants this to happen. So we should do it for the people of our state.
Thank you.
News 8.
Good afternoon. I'm wondering, you mentioned pay for it in an appropriate way. Are you concerned all about the implementer bill and things being put in there that you're not going to be happy about as far as money going over what we can afford?
Well, there are some automatic authorizations, and these can go out 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, that can tie the hands of a governor and future governors and make it more and more complicated to balance the budget. So I think it's really important that what we do, we go through the normal budgetary process and, at the same time, give people confidence. So when it comes to housing, when it comes to brownfields, when it comes to the environment, we're ready to make the investments we need to keep people safe.
Have you seen the language yet, Governor?
No, I'm told that everybody wants to take a break today, so I think that's going to restart the negotiations tomorrow.
on the actual implementer?
I have not myself. I think Melissa, they've been trading drafts back and forth with the appropriations leaders, and I think the negotiations start tomorrow.
Thank you.
NBC Connecticut.
Thanks, Max. Governor, aside from the budget, what were some of the other wins or losses of this legislative session?
Well, I'll start and then, pass it to Susan. But look, Christine, we came out of a year from hell. And I think it was really important we came together in terms of our budget, in terms of ARPA, in terms of bonding, that make sure that we take care of those who have been hardest hit by COVID. Make sure that those urban communities, in particular, black and brown people, their hardest hit, get a chance to get back on their feet. Often these were folks least likely to get back to school for a variety of different reasons. So I think in terms of the investments we're making to make sure these folks and everybody gets a chance to get back on their feet, I'm proud of. And more broadly, we got to get this state moving again. We got to get this state growing again. Let's face it, we have not been a big job creator compared to some of those Sun Belt states, going back a generation. And I think this is a budget that starts to make the investments we need, including transportation and broadband and education, that allow us to hit the ground running. Anything you want to add there, Susan?
I would just say that this session was historic because of our equity focus. Literally, all of the epidemics within the pandemic that we've seen in our state were addressed, whether it's mental health, opioid addiction, domestic violence, and in healthcare, we've addressed, I think, in a very meaningful way.
The Hartford Current.
Thanks, Max. Governor, I just wanted to know exactly what you had been told on marijuana. In other words, we were hearing there was a possible vote in the House on Wednesday the 16th. And also, one of the things being discussed, and I wanted to know what your opinion was on it, to potentially take the implementer and marijuana and everything and roll it all into one bill. Would you be in favor of something like that?
I got to tell you, Chris, I don't really have a strong point of view on that. I have a strong point of view. Do whatever it takes to get this over the finish line. You've been talking about it for a decade in this state, and around the country we have, red states and blue states are passing this and doing it on a very careful, regulated way. And I think we're ready to do the same. And if it's Wednesday, vote on Wednesday.
Also on another topic, legislative topic, the Tesla bill failed again. That's failed probably at least five times. What are your thoughts on the whole Tesla situation?
I think status quo is pretty tough to change in this state, and there are some very influential lobbyists here. I believe strongly that our fleet is going to be more and more electrified over the next 10, 15 years. I think that's really important, and I think being able to buy all the different all-electric vehicles here in this state rather than forcing people to drive out of state is not the right way to go. It's come up before, it'll come up again, and eventually I think it'll pass.
Okay, so in other words, you're on the side of Tesla, in other words, that they should be able to sell, basically.
I think they should be able to sell.
Yeah, I think consumer choice is always a really positive thing for our economy.
The Associated Press.
Thanks, Max. Good morning. Governor, I was wondering, there was quite a bit of legislation that passed regarding nursing homes in light of the pandemic. Are you satisfied that what passed addresses the issues that were raised in the Mathematica report?
What I can tell you is I'm really satisfied that those frontline nurses who showed up every day at considerable risk, especially early on, as pointed out by the Mathematica report, they got the raise they deserve. You know, I just talked to all the nursing home ombuds people. I wasn't quite sure who they were. They are the folks that had to double down and joined by the National Guard, do the inspections at these nursing homes. And some were really good at how they managed their way through PPE, how they managed their way through infections, how they managed their way through COVID. Others were not so good. So I think some of the bills begin to address this. I'll give you a more specific answer when I have a better chance to read them, Sue.
And looking forward, I know you've spoken about this before, where you think that we should maybe take, you know, do more of an investment into home care, take a look at different models out there for elder care. Do you think that some of the remaining ARPA money, the $400 million, should go toward that? I think there is talk of that. What do you foresee going ahead? Should we stick with this model of nursing homes, or should we maybe use this opportunity to transform how older people live?
I always like the opportunity to transform. I think we can always do better. I think we do have some ARPA money, the Rescue Act money. I'd like to see some of that reserved for year three, just to make sure we have a smooth transition there. It's worth noting that in our deal with the nursing homes and the nurses, the nursing homes get a true up, I think it is, for 9 months, a significant increase, helping them manage back to whatever the new norm is for them. But it means we're not going to continue the status quo forever. We're not going to continue that big raise forever. And at some point, Sue, you may see that nursing homes are more oriented towards acute care patients, where the nursing home operators or nurses would earn more. And those who are less acute would be more likely, as you just said, to be at home, where you can take care of them probably at a little less expense to the taxpayer and certainly a lot more comfort to grandma and grandpa.
And Sue, I would just add to that, that we already have a program in Connecticut that we need to get the message out on. And that is a program where the family members who are caregiving to seniors in their homes actually get paid. And it's been shown by all the research to be incredibly successful in keeping seniors in their own home and out of nursing homes and out of hospitals, which is better for everybody. And I think most people, if you ask them, would say they'd prefer that. And so we just have to get the message out there that that program is already available in the state. We want more people in our state to know about it.
Hearst, Connecticut Media.
Governor Lamont, without being too polite, can you describe the interaction with the Senate majority over the issue of the capital gains and the increase in taxes on the highest incomes in the state and how that got ejected from the budget?
I think I was pretty clear for a very long time, Ken, that we had the resources, in part thanks to the American Rescue Plan, in part thanks to a lot of capital gains activity putting money into our coffers, in part due to the fact we have tens of thousands of families moving into the state of Connecticut who are now beginning to pay taxes. There was no need to raise taxes. And I also thought, you mentioned capital gains, I thought it was a really dumb idea to our capital gains, let's say, is 40% more than it is in Massachusetts now. Do you really think making it 90% more exempt, almost double the cost, was not going to impact our economic growth over a period of time?
Okay, well, I'll take that as the level of not being polite about it. Is there anything in particular that you would be worried about showing up in the implementer?
Yes, paying for long-term expenses with short-term money. I think that's a bad policy.
And in the waning minutes, the proposal to make a particular flatbread with toppings on it the state food failed in the Senate. Is that going to affect your relationship with the General Assembly?
Hey, everybody knows we got the best pizza in the world. I don't need the state Senate to tell me that.
Thanks, Governor.
Amen. Amen, and no disrespect to lobster rolls, cider, craft beer.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're a politician. Thank you, Governor. Bye.
See you, Ken.
The Day of New London.
Hi, everyone. Governor, are there any bills in particular, aside from marijuana, that you hope get attention in the special session?
Well, I remember that the Transportation Climate Initiative is still something that's important. If you care about climate, if you care about the environment, and you want to discourage big tractor trailer trucks and cars from you know, doing more and more driving on our roads. So I think that's something we'd like to look at.
Okay, so you do see that coming up?
I didn't say that. You said, what would I like to see? And that's something I wouldn't mind seeing. I think if we have a chance to revisit it, why not?
Thank you.
The Waterbury Republican American.
Yeah, I'd like to pick up on that question. Are you instructing Secretary McCaul and Chief of Staff Mounds to seek inclusion of the TCIP in the budget implementer?
I don't think I'd put it that way, Paul. Really, it's up to the legislative leadership, but I heard Matt Ritter say the other day, the Speaker of the House, we have a little more time. When you have a little more time, maybe it's an opportunity to take a second look at some bills that didn't get the attention they deserved during the regular session. And I'd put TCI right in that list.
Well, speaking of that list, you know, we dealt last year with a long list of bills that folks wanted to see brought up in a special session. I think we were, up to more than 70. So what will your role be, your office's role be, in either limiting or expanding or basically setting the agenda? I mean, what are, you know, do you want, you know, this is going to be, I guess, a single bill, and it's going to be the potential to be a big Christmas tree.
I don't want any Christmas trees, and we're not having a whole, you know, second round. It does seem to me that, you know, marijuana started some months ago. It's time to finish that on a timely basis in the special session. TCI, we got a long way there, but not all the way. Maybe that's something people will take a second look at. But we don't need any Christmas trees. It's summertime.